anybody need a break or lock key?
I just went down to get pizza if it's here, so.
Okay, we'll do another case.
I'll do one more.
Yeah.
Can I just, I think I'm next, can I just take a, maybe swap out for a breather real quick?
You're next.
I think we were next, can I just maybe go out of order?
Do you want a break?
Yes, please.
Okay, yeah, okay. Case number seven, 22-021.
Isn't six a failure? He didn't show up.
Oh, yeah, six is.
Oh, is six here?
Did six check in, Nancy?
Should we have all, he's not here.
Hold on a second.
Because he was sitting, I mean, it was still his case, right?
No, six did not check in, nor did nine.
Attorney Mill, do you want to just call that real quick? I'm sorry, if Middletown case could sit down, we're gonna call that case number six before.
No, we're gonna do another one.
We're gonna do another.
Yeah.
It'll be quick.
Yep. Okay. For the record, Attorney Milne is still here for the issuing authority. It does not appear we need you to identify your witnesses on it unless you want to.
Okay, that works.
Is the appellant here on case number six, 21-334? Okay, it is now 11:18, I'll entertain a motion.
Make a motion, we find in favor of the issuing authority in this case because for the appellant's failure to appear at his hearing today.
Motion made by the chief, is there a second?
Second.
Second by Colonel Lewis, discussion on the motion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes unanimously. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
We have one more that didn't show. We're gonna do that one.
Number nine didn't show.
We're gonna do
that. That's the Middletown one also.
Okay, we'll call case.
Well, what do we call it? Just the Middletown cases, they're all good. From 7:30.
Oh, yeah, we'll just go on order. Middletown's busy today. Case number seven, come back. 22-021. Sorry about the false start.
Sure.
Okay, sir, can you please identify yourself for the record, spelling your last name and indicating the authority you're representing here today?
My name is Sergeant Elias Martz. Last name is M-A-R-T-Z with the Middletown Police Department.
Sergeant, you're entitled to a brief opening statement if you'd like.
Yes, my name is Jacob.
No, not you.
Oops, sorry.
Sergeant goes first. You'll go next.
Yeah, you, when you said that, you weren't looking up, so.
Based on our investigation, the appellant was the subject of a protective order, which was enforced for a period of 409 days. And answered on the DPS 799C, no to the question, within the past 5 years, have you been the subject of a protective or restraining order issued by the court, et cetera. Based on this, he was deemed not to be a suitable candidate.
So you live in Middletown?
I do, yeah, right down the street, actually.
Okay. You are entitled to make a brief opening statement if you'd like.
Thank you. My name is Jacob Homer. I actually live right down the street.
Sir, you don't have to tell us your name, but you can if you want.
Yeah, but that's what
I'd like
to do. So I live down the street. I actually drive past this place every day, and I was always wondering what it was. So I'm here today, and now I know. So I had a situation back in 2018. It was a relationship that I was in for 2 years, and it was very toxic on both ends, not only on my end, but on her end as well. I chose to break up with the girl, and she decided, you know, for her own reasons to falsely get me arrested. She went to the police in, I want to say, September of 2018 and told them that I was abusing her, putting my hands on her, and all these false things. And come to find out, I'm at work, I get a ring, saying from the New Britain Police Department that they wanted to speak to me. So I went down there, spoke to them. But all in all, the reason why she decided to get me arrested and say these false accusations was because I didn't want to be with her anymore. Not because of any real situation going on, me actually putting my hands on her, whatever she told the officer. And I cooperated with the officer. I didn't give him a hard time. When he wanted me to be there on that Monday of September, I was there. And all in all, the reason why I was arrested was because of these false accusations. And the basis of my denial, from my understanding, was the fact that there was a question that said, whether you're convicted or not, please state all the rest. Is that correct?
I think you said it was a protective order.
Okay, a protective order that I didn't disclose. But from my understanding, I was told, you could correct me if I'm wrong, I don't know too much about it, but I was told by an attorney, Connecticut General Statutes, Title 54, Criminal Procedure, Chapter 961A, Criminal Records, Section 51-142A, erasure of criminal records, that any person who shall have been the subject of such an erasure shall be deemed to have never been arrested within the meaning of the general statutes with respect to the proceedings so erased and may swear so under oath. So on the application, since all charges were dropped in October of 2019, I figured that, you know, that's something that couldn't be held against me. So from my understanding, I didn't disclose it. Maybe I misinterpreted it. If I was told one thing, that it's not considered an arrest anymore, and I failed to obviously do so on the application to disclose it. And it was a genuine mistake. It wasn't something that I was trying to hide. I obviously know that everyone here probably has access to those records, and that's pretty much it on my side of things.
Can I just educate them?
Mm-hmm.
I just want, the form does ask if you're been arrested and ask that you're been convicted.
Correct.
Both of those you could say no to if your case has been dismissed. The next question is, have you ever had, within the last 5 years, a protective order involving violence, regardless of what happened in court? That's the one you have to disclose.
Okay. Well, with all due respect, sir, when I got a call from the officer from Middletown,
well, no, I just want to let you know that's the way.
Yeah,
I,
no, I appreciate
that's
that.
The law. We'll get to you being able to.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
I just want you to understand why they do it.
Yeah, 100%. And I respect that, and I understand that. But when the officer gave me the call, he didn't, from my understanding, or what from what I could remember, he didn't say anything about the protective order. He said
right,
any arrest.
This is not defensive. I just
okay.
want to make sure you understood what the form says and what the intent of the form is.
Okay.
We just had a protective order from the court by the court. I guess we'll hear about that later.
All right, Sergeant, you can proceed with your case if you have anything to add.
So, yeah, the appellant checked no on the box, regardless of the outcome of the criminal case. Obviously, the DPS does state 799C that any information which is shown to be inaccurate will also be disqualifying. The officer who investigated, Officer Ortiz, wrote in his report, he spoke to the appellant, confirmed the information on the pistol permit application was accurate and required no changes. He asked the appellant to clarify the remarks made to New Britain Police about wanting to speak to a therapist. That's also included in the packet. He explained at the time he was under stress, emotional, and needed a mental break because of what he was going through. He sought therapy for 2 months, which helped, and stated he was not suicidal or homicidal. He asked the appellant why he failed to disclose the protective order. He stated he was aware of the court order and explained that he must have overlooked or misread the question. I believe that's it.
Hey, sir, do you have any questions of the sergeant based on what he just testified to?
I do. So the basis of my denial is just off the fact that I didn't disclose the protective order.
The basis of the denial is that you... Sorry, I'm looking for my copy of the denial letter. It was for multiple reasons that you did not disclose it. It was that it was in place for 409 days. You were served with the order in court and still checked no on the box. So it was a combination of the length of time that the order was in place as well as inaccurate information on the form. Did you answer no?
Can I ask another question?
Sure.
If the length and time, it seems like that placed some significance in my denial. If it was shorter than 409 days, is that something that would have made a difference or not? This is a genuine question.
I mean,
let's say that
in the case,
let him answer, please.
In my opinion, in the case where someone misunderstands a question or didn't know that they had a order against them, if there was an order for a very short period of time, sometimes there are ex parte orders that might be in place for only a few days, it might be possible that the person forgot or was unaware of it. When there's a protective order that's against you for over a year, it seems like something that you would be well aware of, and when that question came up, you would be careful to make sure that you answered the correct answer on a notarized form that specifically states any statement in this application that is deemed to be false or inaccurate shall constitute grounds for denial of such application. So both of those factor in, but also if the court saw fit to keep a protective order in place for 409 days, it seems like there was some seriousness to that allegation, regardless of whether the case was dismissed or nollied or however it was erased from the record.
I 100% agree with that. But like I mentioned before, this was a relationship.
This is question.
Sure. Yeah, question
time.
Yep, okay. You'll have a chance to put on your case then. Do you have any other questions for the sergeant?
Just give me a second. I'm just thinking to myself, you bring up the fact that I was under distress in the situation where they came in. Is part of the denial, is it from something, suitability from a mental standpoint, or is it simply because I didn't state on the application that I had a protective order that I was arrested before? That I just want to make clear, because if it's simply that, then I genuinely apologize for not putting it on there, and I want to let you guys know that genuinely wasn't clear to me. But if it's anything other than that, I know that it's not that. So is it simply just the fact that I didn't put that on there? Is that I'm being denied? Would it have been...
Okay, sir, can we do one question at a time? I'm not sure how he's going to answer this question.
Okay.
If you could rephrase that as one question that he can answer, and if you want to follow up with other questions after he answers, you can do that.
So is just my lack of understanding the questions and not putting it on there and not stating that I was arrested or that I had a protective order against me, that was the simple basis of my denial.
The basis of the denial, as stated in the denial letter, was the failure to disclose the protective order in addition to the length that the order was in place.
Okay.
The totality of circumstance is often also taken into account. So had you disclosed it, there may have been other factors that we would have found for suitability if that further answers your question.
Suitability in regards to like denying it or?
Well, so there was two reports from New Britain, which I believe were mostly in relation probably to this relationship that you had.
Correct.
And in one of them was, you know, from which I read about the mental health issues you were experiencing at that time due to the emotional stress. We didn't delve further into those issues as far as they would pertain to suitability because there was disqualifying factors based on the inaccuracy on the DPS 799 form.
Other questions?
No, no questions.
Does the board have any questions of the sergeant chief?
I was going to ask a similar question. Did you look into the nature and circumstances of the domestic that resulted in the protective order for 490 days?
So,
because we're making assumptions that it was very serious because of the length of the protective order, but I personally would like to know exactly what happened.
So the investigating officer, I don't believe, was able to speak with him about those cases. Whatever the outcome of those cases, I believe that they have been erased from the record, so we were not able to necessarily obtain that. What we did obtain was two other cases from New Britain. I believe it was two. This is actually three. I might be incorrect. Double checking.
But are they part of your case today? The denial letter doesn't say that.
The denial letter doesn't say that based on... Right. So my contention is that we perhaps would have looked further into those cases and those other contacts that New Britain had if this were not the case, because I was trying to answer his question fully.
You heard his explanation in his opening that he charges were dismissed. He understood that to be everything related to those charges have been dismissed. Now, that's
yes.
Not accurate. That's not true. The protective order is not a record of arrest. It is erased. Many appellants come here and tell us that same story. So sometimes the police departments will ask them and get that answer up front. Sometimes they believe them, sometimes they don't. But you've heard that now. Is that a possibility? That he just didn't, he assumed because the case was thrown out that he didn't have to answer to, yes to the protective order?
It's entirely possible that he misunderstood the question and answered it inaccurately.
Yeah, certainly he didn't want to disclose it. There's no doubt he didn't want to tell you he was arrested. Whether he understood, I don't know. So I guess my question is, did your department, the investigating officer, try to contact the appellant, ask him these questions, try to find out the nature and circumstances of the domestic? Frankly, regardless of the protective order, if the situation were serious enough and regardless if it had been dismissed, there may be a suitability issue to present there, too.
So the investigating officer did do an interview with the appellant, which was documented in that report, which I'm trying to find. There's quite a lot of paperwork here.
I think you told us about that.
Yeah. And the denial letter simply states that the appellant did not provide further details of the domestic violence arrest that led to the order. I was not the investigating officer,
I don't know what
so
to make of that.
I don't
I
have
asked
that information.
Him, so he didn't what, tell me, or he refused to tell me. There's the difference.
I'm going off the information that I have. I was not the investigating officer for it. My point was simply that in addition to those, there were other police contacts from the New Britain Police Department that were disclosed for domestics that did not rise to the level of arrest, one of which included him being voluntarily transported to the hospital due to emotional and psychological stress.
He was involuntarily?
Voluntarily.
So he went to the hospital?
He chose to go based on the stress that he was under from that situation, which
did
was
anyone
a domestic-related situation.
Did anyone explore that issue with the appellant as part of the pistol permit application process?
They did not ask the appellant directly about that based on the investigation that I have at hand. And my understanding would be that once they found that there was an inaccuracy on the form, which was a disqualifier, they ended the investigation there. My contention would be that were those things not there, they may have investigated that further.
Regardless of how this turns out today, in the future, it's always best to, especially if you're going to make a denial, to inquire further. Don't hang on, especially on failure to disclose. It's always a stronger case if you get all the information. And frankly, you may decide to issue, you know, who knows, but if you're going to be here, it's best to have that information.
Absolutely. Thank you for the advice.
Thank you.
Other questions by the board? Sergeant, was there an arrest made for false statement based on his inaccurate disclosure on the application?
There was not.
All right, Sergeant, do you have any other witnesses?
I do not.
Sir, it is your turn to tell us what you'd like us to know.
I apologize for taking a second. This is just a lot to take in.
It's fine.
But I kind of just want to begin by saying he brings up the mental instability at the time and the things that I was going through at the time. From my understanding, that was back in March of 2018. And at the time I was 21 years old. I want to give you some background story on my life. I grew up in public housing, single mother, father in and out of jail. So there was a lot of things at the time that I didn't understand as a man. I basically raised myself to become a man. And at the time there were certain things, even though I was the first person in college, in my family to go to college, and I was working on getting a degree in finance, and I had all these good things going for myself. There were certain things that I had to rewire and certain things that I had to understand in order to get to the next step in my life. And even though I was gonna be graduating that May of 2018, and I was gonna have all these accolades, there were still certain things that I still had to address before I could move on in my life. And that was one of them. That relationship in itself just brought a lot of things and showed me a lot of things that I just had to work on as a man. And regardless of the situation or what the result is gonna be today, I know that I learned from that situation. And I wasn't arrested before that. I wasn't arrested after that. I haven't gotten in any trouble after that. And I know for a fact that the only reason why I was arrested was because I wanted to move on from that relationship. I broke the relationship off. The reason why this lady supposedly had evidence to get me arrested was because she kept coming around my family and she supposedly grabbed the journal that I was writing in and brought it to the police, and that showed enough probable cause or enough evidence for them to arrest me at my job at the time. And in disguise, it was kind of a blessing because I was getting paid $12 an hour at the hospital here in Middlesex. I got arrested while I was on my lunch break. After, you know, speaking to the officer in New Britain and telling him, hey, you know, if you do, for whatever reason, decide to arrest me based on these allegations, could you please just not do them at my job? And that's what they did. They arrested me at my job. I was on an ankle monitor for 30 days. I was in no contact with this lady. There was a protective order apparently for 409 days, which I did comply obviously with that. I didn't try to reach out to her. She actually tried to reach out to me several times, and all the charges were basically dismissed from my understanding. So I felt like I could move on from that. And since then, I've been working on trying to get a house. A business manager now at a car dealership in Meriden. I'm only 26 years old. There's a lot of things that obviously I'm gonna have to learn in life, and this situation obviously being one of them. But from my understanding, it's not only the fact that I didn't put on the protective order that I didn't put on the application that I had a protective order against me or an arrest. It almost seems like my mental standpoint is in question, and my suitability as a citizen is in question when I don't believe that that's the case. I could understand if I had a situation where I was in a domestic violence relationship back in 2016, because this is when I was with the girl, to 2018, And then I got in another relationship after that, and I was in another domestic dispute, and it just kept going on. No, this was something unique to just that situation. It wasn't something that I kept doing. I addressed the situation. He said it himself that I went and I saw a therapist. Why? Because I acknowledged that there was a problem. There was an issue. In order for me to move on with my life and be able to cope with the things that I go through, I had to seek that. But I'm here today, going on 5 years later, and that's not the case. I look back at that, and I think to myself, I could have handled that a lot differently. Why wasn't I the one that went and pursued a protective order against her when she was harassing me? Why is it that I was arrested at my job and I wasn't arrested the day that supposedly the cops got called and I was putting my hands on her? Why wasn't I arrested then? Why did I voluntarily say, hey, I need to speak to somebody about this? So if the basis of my denial was simply because I didn't put on the application that I had been arrested before and that I had a protective order against me, I apologize for that. But if it's anything else beyond that, I don't see that being a valid reason. And with that being said, I have nothing else really to say. And I know I'm suitable for it. I work in a high stress environment, working with customers every day. I know how to conduct myself when somebody says, hey, I just picked up this effing car 2 weeks ago and the engine's blown. Like, what the fuck is going on? Like, I know how to conduct myself in those situations because of the things that, because of my experiences. And I understand that you have to take the proper precautions. You have to case by case basis look and say, hey, like, is this person suitable? But I know that I'm more than suitable for this. So all in all, I really have nothing else to say. And I know that regardless of the result, I'm still obviously do what I have to do, stay out of trouble if that's the case. But yeah, I really have nothing else to say.
Sergeant, do you have any cross?
So you stated you were in a relationship with the party that had the protective order for a period of approximately 2 years?
Correct.
And then you had no contact with her for the 409 days after that time?
Correct.
So that would place the end of that order was October of 2019. Mm-hmm. And when, sorry. You applied for the permit in 2021. So there was January of 2021. Is that correct?
Correct.
So there was a period of 2 years between the end of the protective order and when you applied for a
yes.
pistol permit.
Yes, sir.
After a 3 year relationship. Okay.
2 years.
2 year relationship, sorry, and 1 year under the protective order. 2 years later, you applied for the permit.
I did, yeah.
Yes. Okay.
Questions by the board?
I have a question. First of all, my understanding is that the basis of the denial is that you did not disclose the protective order. Does it have the denial was not based on your mental health or your seeking therapy or.
Right.
Not putting down the arrests because those were taken away and you're allowed not to mention that. So I'd be interested in your just providing a brief description from your perspective of what the basis of the protective order was. What happened between you and this woman that led authorities to impose a protective order against you?
Yeah, not a problem. I could dive into that. So basically, me and her, we'd have toxic situations where we'd argue. I'd raise my voice, she'd raise her voice. Things would get thrown, something would get broken, whatever. And
I got to cut you off. Things would get thrown.
Yeah.
If you threw something.
No, I didn't throw anything.
Things just get thrown.
It's just like things happen in the heat of the moment. Things happen, whatever.
I'm sorry. Just be precise. If you threw something, say it. If she threw something at you, say it.
No, she would break something or do something, and.
Okay, I'm sorry. Answer the doc's question.
Yeah, absolutely. She would break things. She would punch things, and I, as a man, obviously, I know that is, we all know, it's different when a man, when a woman puts her hands on a man versus a man putting his hands on a woman. I was taught never to do that. And there was a situation where I wanted to leave her home. She had basically like a fire door, like a fireproof door, one of those doors that like basically when you open it and let your hand off the door, off the doorknob, it'll just close fast, heavy door, hard door to get out of. And I'm trying to obviously leave her apartment. She's refusing to. It does say in there she's 5'3", 185 pounds at the time. I'm 5'9", 150 pounds, soaking wet. And I'm trying to leave her home. She wouldn't let me. She's grabbing my arms, pulling me to obviously not leave the home. And I pushed her on the ground. She starts crying, screaming bloody murder, making the situation bigger than what it has to be, and I leave. And that situation, I ended up writing in a journal, because at the time I knew no other way to cope with the situation. I felt terrible for what I did. I was raised by my grandmother and my mother. I was always taught never to put my hands on a woman, and that was something that I pride myself on. Even being arrested, my dad was in and out of jail. I prided myself on never being in this situation right here. And with that being said, I had to learn, like I was saying before, I had to learn to kind of deal with those things and work through those things. And so when this officer asked me about, hey, did this situation happen? Did you physically touch her? Did you push her? Did you do anything to her? I complied. I said, yes, this did happen. When I tried to leave her home, I explained the situation. And that was the basis of, or the totality, that was the word that was used, of why I was arrested.
And why the protective order
was in place. Correct, yeah, because of that situation. Me admitting and saying, hey, I messed up, I fucked up. I did do that. And so with that being said, I know exactly why I was arrested, because if I was putting my hands on this woman, and you could correct me if I'm wrong, if I was really that bad of a person, if I was a monster, if I was doing all these horrible things and I needed a protective order against me for 409 days, why is it that the day that the cops were called to the house, it says it in there, I could read it to you now, she refused to open a door. She refused to open a door. When she opened the door, she told the officer, you don't have a warrant, so you can't come in here. The officer says, well, I have probable cause to come in because I heard that there was a domestic dispute here. And so he forces himself into the door. This was the woman that I was dealing with at the time. Since then, I don't deal with any of that. Anything toxic, anything negative, anything that might remind me of something even close to that is like, You move the wrong way, you speak the wrong way, I'm just gonna remove myself from that environment. At the time, I didn't know how to do that. This was a girl that I knew ever since I was in the fourth grade. So I felt like, hey, I gotta fix things with this girl. I gotta come correct. But I learned, obviously, as I got older, that you can love people from a distance. Sometimes you have to cut things off. And at the time, I didn't know how to do that.
Thank you for that.
Yeah, absolutely.
So what you're saying is, you just correct me if I'm understanding this correctly, that the reason why you didn't check off yes to the box of the protective order was because you thought that was erased in the context of your charges.
Correct.
Being
yeah.
Erased?
Like I said, an attorney literally gave me this. You know this better than I do.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that basically, since all charges were dropped and dismissed, that I don't have to basically state that. But I didn't know the protective order part. If the arrest part is different than the protective order part, then I apologize.
Okay.
I didn't know that.
I just wanted to clarify.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
That position on your part. Thank you.
Yeah.
Other questions?
I guess I do. You mentioned you went to the hospital voluntarily. Were you admitted to the hospital?
What do you mean by admitted?
Spend days there?
No, not hell no. I was there for like an hour. No, just I really just had to get a different perspective from someone outside of a family member or a friend
so
or...
So did you go to the emergency room?
I don't even know what part of the hospital was in, to be completely honest with you.
Because it doesn't seem like you could walk in, say, I'm having problems and be out in a couple hours. You'd have to...
No. So I'll tell you exactly what happened.
Please.
Officer comes in, like I mentioned before, forces his way in. I'm sitting on her cuffs like this. I'm crying. I'm literally, because at this time, I'm like, I'm fucked. Like, the cops are here. I'm fucked. This girl's screaming bloody murder. The neighbors obviously called. Like, I'm going to get arrested. And he taps me on the shoulder and he says, hey, what's going on? Are you good? And I had no words. At the time, it was like, I'm going to get arrested. That's what I'm thinking. And I didn't. They're like, do you need help? Do you, like, need to speak to anybody? Like, and I'm like, yes. Like, I don't want to be here. Anywhere but here. And so they put me in the back of an ambulance. They brought me to, and I voluntarily went. They brought me to the hospital, and
to me, it sounds like you you didn't fight them. You voluntarily went, but odds are they filled out a form saying you had to go. Is that correct?
I don't remember that.
That's the only way you can get an ambulance to take you without a personal charge. So,
right. Wait.
So my experience.
Oh, a personal like a form when I was.
Yeah.
In the house or in the ambulance
or
when I got to the hospital?
In other words, the police made you go. You did it voluntarily. You didn't fight them. You didn't
resist,
but you didn't have a choice either.
Right.
Is that true?
Oh, I didn't have a choice to go?
Yeah. That's what it sounds like.
Did you get a bill for it?
I
didn't get a bill.
I would disagree with that. In my experience over 20 years working for the Department of Mental Health and Addiction Services, oftentimes an individual will volunteer to go, and the only way to get to the hospital without that person incurring the charge of the ambulance is for the officer to fill out the emergency certificate. So I would not assume, Chief, that he had no choice. He indicated to the officer that he wanted
to. Well, if the officer filled out that certificate, he had no choice.
You don't understand the point that I'm making. Many times officers do that so that there is no fee for
the officers don't consider the fee in whether they decide someone's a danger to themselves or others.
The report does not make mention of...
Yeah, and I know it doesn't. That's why I was wondering. Regardless, you went to the hospital, they checked you out, you were out in a couple hours, 3 hours, 4 hours, what happened?
An hour.
Did you walk away or did they let you go?
I walked away by myself.
So they didn't discharge you, that you just walked out?
No. They discharged me. Yeah, they said, hey, you know, I spoke to the lady. I can give you the context of the conversation.
No, you don't.
Oh, okay. So,
I mean, unless the doctor wants to hear it.
No, because I don't think it's relevant to the issuing authority's position.
I just got to point out something. You said you submitted three letters of reference?
I did, yes.
Who wrote those letters?
I want to say one of them was Walter Cloud, my business manager at the time when I was a sales manager. I want to say Harold.
Who actually typed the letters?
Those people.
Because when you look at them, they're identical, almost. Same words. Jacob isn't...
It's a form letter.
It's a form letter that someone signed rather than someone's true impressions of you. All three of them. They start out with, I am writing on behalf of you, who's applying for a gun license. You are an American citizen, lived in Connecticut for a while. So to me, it looks like you wrote the letters and asked them to sign.
No.
They all came up with the same words? You know what I mean? Do you have the letters there?
I may.
It just seems to me that you wrote the letters. And they even all start off, Dear MPD. All three of them.
Are these letters in support of the application? For the hearing.
Yeah, they're dated in 2021. Actually, they're all dated the same day.
Yeah, he was denied on June 7th. These are dated 23rd of June, February.
Anyway, it's not that big an issue. It's hard to put it
in. I don't even remember, honestly.
In the letter that appears that you wrote for us, that's what it looks like. Okay. And that's not true?
It is not, no.
So they came up with all these words that are identical on their own?
Well, a couple, Well, I can only remember a couple of the references. The third reference, I don't remember. A couple of them work at the same exact job as me, so maybe...
Okay, thank you.
You didn't type these letters?
I didn't say which letters.
I'm going to show you the letters.
I'll approach you.
I approach you.
You asking? Asking yourself, I suppose.
This, and this.
You mentioned there was a third letter. I just see two here.
Front and back.
There's three if you flip through.
Oh, okay, sorry.
Yeah. You see what we're getting at?
Yeah, I understand that.
It looks like you presented a letter to these individuals and asked if they were willing to sign it when you submitted your application, and the time frame is seemed referable to when you said that was part of your application packet.
Right.
My own position is I think it's neither here nor there. People do that all the time, including job reference letters.
I don't mean to interrupt you, but there was nothing, and correct me if I'm wrong, but there's nothing specific on the application that says, hey, these have to be like, does it say that? It has to be like...
No, it's just a...
I just think the form, because I take pride in my writing, and I graduated from college, so I know if you don't type MLA format or a certain way, the professor's going to be like, instead of you potentially getting a 90, you're going to get a 70. So at the time, that was my thinking. Like,
it was just a question that the chief asked.
For me, it goes to the weight of what they say.
The weight of
whether we put any weight in it at all, because to me, you wrote it.
Gotcha.
Maybe you didn't, but it seems to be...
I mean,
one person did, whether it's you or somebody else.
I mean, and I just want to say this one thing. I mean, those people, I believe their cell phone numbers on there, their contact information. You're more than welcome to obviously reach out to these people.
That's
the point of a reference.
Just simple question is, did you write the letters?
I did not write the letters.
Okay.
All right. Other questions? Sir, did you go through a diversionary program in court, a family violence program, or do you remember going to anger management classes or anything like that?
I did.
You did, okay.
Yep.
Because that seems to go into the arrest was basically a year before the case probably, well, at least before the protective order was disposed of, which would indicate to me your case was probably nollied when the protective order stopped being in effect. Does that sound right?
It does.
Okay. And that's normal. I guess my holdup here is, I think the question is clear. And I know I'm a lawyer, so I harp on this, but within the past 5 years, have you been the subject of a protective order or restraining order issued by a court in a case involving the use, attempted use, or threatened use of physical force against another person, regardless of the outcome or result of any related criminal case? That you check no to. So my hang-up is, what was confusing about regardless of the outcome or result of any related criminal case?
I'm going to lead back to this year. I know you mentioned about it earlier, but I don't do this every day. I don't understand this jargon, so to speak. I speak in the world of finance. So this here, this is what I was told by an attorney once the charges are dropped.
Did you go over this application you filled out when you submitted to Middletown with an attorney sitting there?
I did not.
Okay. Because there are different questions. Were you arrested? You answer no, which was correct. You can say that because your case was nollied. Have you ever been convicted? You said no. So these are all very different questions. You answered most of them right, and then you get to this last question, which is the subject of this appeal. It says,
regardless of the outcome or result of any related criminal case. To me, that's very clear language what that means.
Yeah, but technically, if you look at the top, technically I have been arrested before, whether convicted or not.
But there's a notice you are not required to disclose the existence of any arrest if the record has been erased. That's under the arrested question. There's no notice similar to that under the protective order where it says regardless of the outcome or result of any related criminal case. That's my hang-up. So yours, as you sit here today, you said this was a confusing question to you.
Yes.
Any other questions? Okay, sir, do you have any other witnesses?
No, I do not.
Okay, you are entitled to a brief closing statement.
At this point, I really have nothing else to say. If I'm simply going to be denied because I forgot to disclose that on the application, I sincerely apologize. But if it's anything beyond that, my suitability, my character, anything else being in question, then I can't agree with that. But if it's simply because I didn't sit down with an attorney and fill out the application and I misunderstood the question, then I could live with that. But if it's anything beyond that, that's not going to sit well with me. Not that it matters, not that my feelings matter or my emotions matter in this sort of case. I know that I'm more than suitable to obviously possess a firearm. You mentioned the references, all the letters look the same, but if you want to reach out to those people, you most certainly can and get that.
Sergeant, would you like to make a closing statement?
So we've hashed over the issue of the inaccuracy on the form multiple times. I believe that stands. I would also add that the declaration signed and notarized by the appellant also reads, I further understand that any statement in this application that is determined to be false or inaccurate shall constitute grounds for the denial of such application, which if I were reading that would give me pause to make sure that everything was accurate or perhaps consult with the attorney who provided him that paperwork. I would also say that it's the contention of the appellant that his character has changed and he is a different person from when he was involved in this two-year, what he described by him as, in his own words, as a two-year-long toxic relationship with someone he had known since they were approximately 4 years old. However, the time period between the expiration of the protective order in October of 2019 and his application, which was in January of 2021, was less than 2 years. So I would argue that that does not appear to me to be a length of time where we can fully determine that someone's character has changed and that he is not going to necessarily find himself in another toxic relationship. Perhaps a longer period of time. I don't know what that cutoff would be, but that would be something that I certainly would consider as far as suitability. I believe that's it. Thank you.
Comments by the board?
I'll just make a comment, and you touched upon it, how important it is that the issuing authorities get an accurate, complete application. And had that been done in this case, there may have been further inquiries, much like we made today. May not be sitting there, you may be sitting there. I don't know. But by incorrectly answering that form, this is what happened.
Yeah, I understand that.
And there is the underlying issue of domestic violence, but and the protective order that goes along with the potentially reason why that wasn't disclosed.
Am I allowed to speak?
No. Other comments? I just wanted to make a quick comment, sir, because I wanted you to know why I was asking about the reference letters. I make no judgment that these people who sign these letters don't agree with everything that's written. It stood out to me because you didn't say that you wrote the letter or you couldn't answer the question, but they are exactly the same letter. So it goes to your veracity on whether you're sitting here telling us the truth, because to me, this whole case is about whether you answered questions on an application under oath truthfully. That's the only reason I was asking about the letters. I don't debate that these people think these good things about you, but that's why I was asking those questions. Tough case for me because there's no arrest for false statement. We do see time and time again that there is confusion filling out these applications, but I think if there's ever confusion, you either consult with an attorney or ask the person accepting the application to make clear that you're answering the questions right. So I'm on the fence, but luckily I vote last, so.
you don't have to.
We'll go to the other end. Dr. Conrad.
Well, I'm concerned that with reference to those three letters, you just didn't say, yeah, I provided a template and these people were free to either sign it or not sign it. And when they, if they signed it, they're in agreement. That kind of changed my position. I think if you were to reapply now with the passage of time and correctly fill out the application, perhaps the issuing authority might take a different viewpoint with full disclosure and discussion. But at this point in time, I think I'm just going to have to say the issuing authority at this time.
Attorney Iaconis?
Issuing authority at this time.
Colonel Lewis?
Issuing authority.
Chief Rosenzweig?
Issuing authority.
And Acting Chair will vote issuing authority at this time for reasons stated. Thank you, gentlemen.